Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today here at Keeping It Young. And we are right in the middle of this series we're doing on conflict resolution. And remember, our goal is not to avoid conflict, but to learn how to handle them in a healthy way. Let's jump right in today for part five in this series. So are we ready to get started here today?
Yes, back into conflict resolution.
Well, good deal. We started out with just some quotes and how to resolve conflicts. We talked about identifying it, what kind of is the source of the conflict. Mm-hmm. And then we came back last week and we talked about the why. Why do we have these conflicts? And we kind of ended there with this idea of our different family backgrounds. And many of you that listened last week remember that we told the story about our Matthew and Kareth and their butter saga.
Yes.
And how that our two families did that differently. Her family keeps the butter out. Our family puts it in the fridge. So she thought it should be out. Matthew thought it should be in. So they actually ended up working through that, and they do both now, and we do the same thing. So right. We learned from our daughter-in-law, and we kind of ended on that story. And the funny thing about it was that my son texted me one day last week and said something about, thanks for the shout out, and just so you know, I do listen to your podcast.
Which is awesome. I love that.
It made our day. So today, let's go a little bit further, and two things we want to do today. We want to answer the question, what hinders conflict resolution? And then we want to get started on the practical steps to solving our conflicts. And so here, let's just jump in. What hinders conflict resolution? I think we have six and we're going to be fast. So listen fast. And here's the first one.
All right. The first one is negative sentiments.
Now that's a phrase I found recently in reading. And John Gottman, who has done tons of research with couples and couples conflicts and all of these kind of things.
Yes.
He did this study in which he found that with romantic couples and found that only 4% of disputes that start off negative were able to be turned around.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I know this from personal experience. I know that if we let conflict go, and we just, you know, let it build up. And then all of a sudden, one of us has a meltdown. Okay, if one of us has a meltdown, that would be me. It would not be David. He does not have meltdowns. But if one of us then cannot handle the conflict anymore, and it just starts pouring out because we haven't dealt with it before, it is very hard for that to turn around. And it just kind of disintegrates.
Absolutely.
And it is one of those conflicts that we have to just stop and say, you know what? We don't even know how to solve this. So I love you and you love me and we're going to just go on with life right now.
Absolutely. And you know, the interesting thing about that is that when an argument starts off negative, or a disagreement, a dispute starts off negative, then the point is that it continues negative.
Yes.
And so negative sentiments hinder conflict resolutions in a very big way. Mm-hmm. But here's another one. Passive aggression does as well. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we often will observe, because sometimes you're with a couple, and if you get around couples much at all, you'll be around a couple that sometimes tease all the time.
Yes.
And it's very obvious that it's a flirty.
Yes.
Let me try that again. It's a flirty, fun teasing, and it's, you know, there's no issues. But sometimes you're around a couple where there's a lot of a passive aggression.
Yes, and that is uncomfortable.
That is uncomfortable, not only for, you know, the couple, obviously, but for everybody around them, because passive aggression does not solve conflicts. Mm-hmm. And so some personalities maybe lean more that way.
Right. And I think of the word sarcasm. Sarcasm can be used in a good way. Often when you talk about sarcasm, when you're preaching on the family, you use the illustration that sarcasm is like salt. A little bit goes a long way, and it's okay every once in a while. You know, if you have a child that gets up on the wrong side of the bed, or in this instance, we're talking about spouses, if your husband gets up on the wrong side of the bed and they stumble in the kitchen in the morning looking like, you know, a stormy rain cloud, sometimes that little bit of sarcasm of, oh, aren't you just a bundle of joy this morning, you know, can be okay, and it can be funny, and it can break the ice. But when sarcasm is used over and over and over, and you're not teasing, you're being true
or you're making
to
a
your
point.
Feelings, and yes, and you're trying to make a point, that is passive aggressive. And that can be very difficult to handle, especially over the long haul.
Yeah, and you know, if you let couples, or if you let your conflicts rather build up, a passive aggression does become part of the, you know, kind of the default.
Yes.
So we're bothered about something, so we make little statements.
Right.
Aggressive little statements about mm-hmm. what, rather than solve the issue, talk through the issue, learn how to handle the issue, we respond to the issue with a sharp tongue.
Right.
And that's passive aggression.
Yes.
Here's another one. Compounded problems always hinder conflict resolution.
Yes.
No unsolved problem remains alone.
True.
An unsolved problem compounds, and we've kind of alluded to that earlier, so we'll move on here.
Yes.
And I like number four here. This is one of those that hinders conflict resolution. You want to give us that one?
Yes. Nagging or jabbing?
Nagging or jabbing. I like that one. Nagging typically gets attributed to women.
Yes.
And so it's hard for most men to think in terms of, you know, I nag. So using the word jabbing, I think, is to help separate those two.
Right.
Sometimes when there's a conflict, a wife can just keep pecking it, keep going at it, keep bringing mm-hmm. it up. And sometimes men, when there's an issue, they jab. They can be harsh.
Yes.
They can be cutting. Mm-hmm. They can tear down. Maybe the word is even lash out. Hmm. And it might be the best way to describe both of those. Nagging is a little bit of a lashing out. You know, what's wrong with you? And why haven't you? And
right.
And jabbing is the same way. So a man typically would do more of that. So harshness shows up that way. That always yes. hinders conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. And here, this is kind of a silly one, but it is true. Ignoring the problem never solves the problem.
Yes.
We have a friend, a neighbor here that goes to a church across town, and he sent me a meme this week because of our conflict resolution. And help me remember that. He said something about how I typically handle conflict. And on mm-hmm. one half of it is an explosion.
Right.
And on the other half is a man in a suit with his head buried in the sand. And it was kind of, you know, it was a lot of fun there and humor. But ignoring a conflict never solves it. Burying your head in the sand will not make the conflict go away.
Right. And I think you could probably combine those two just a little bit. Often when we do a couples retreat, you will show that cartoon of a man and a woman, and they're both being very quiet. And the woman is thinking to herself, I need to say something. We have a yes. problem, and I am going to say something. And sometimes that can come across as nagging. And then in the bubble above the husband's head, it says, I think we have a problem. I'm not going to say anything.
And, you know, the sentiment there is that, you know, a lot of guys will say, well, I'm not going to say anything because I always say the wrong thing.
True.
And sometimes that's very true. Men do say the wrong thing. And it's evidence when that happens that we are not solving our conflicts in a healthy way. Right. So if any one of these applies to you, it means mm-hmm. that you've got to really take this to heart.
Right.
The last one is busyness. Busyness means, you know, this lifestyle we live. And part of the problem we have, I think, in our culture is that conflict resolution takes time.
Yes.
And most of us have none. And we're running so fast. And life is so busy. There's so many demands. Our schedules are so filled mm-hmm. that a lot of times we just don't want to take the time to right. sit down and listen,
true,
and understand, mm-hmm. and make up. Mm-hmm. We just don't want to take the time to do it. And right. busyness is just a massive area of that hinders conflict resolution. Can you right. think of any others just off the top of your head?
Well, I was just thinking of that, of the busyness, that the default seems to be in our culture, and even sadly in our church culture, is we just default to those harsh tones. We just default to the nagging. We default to the passive aggressiveness because we don't want to take the time to sit down, hear each other out. We don't want to listen to each other. And we're going to get into that in a few minutes and understand each other's side. We just want to be heard. Mm-hmm. And so because of the busyness, we default to everything else. And it does take some time. And we're going to talk about that here in these practical steps. These practical steps will take you some time, but it's worth it.
And right. So let's jump into those, the practical steps. And mm-hmm. and even before we jump to that, let me say this, you that are listening, one of the things that Beth and I have discovered is that conflict resolution by itself often doesn't make a marriage better. In other words, conflict resolution should be part of an entire package.
Right.
And when you are working at your marriage, when you are working at communication, when you are working at trust, when you are working at love, when you are serving the Lord together, when you're praying together, conflict resolution is easier when it's part of the package deal.
Absolutely.
And maybe if we're not careful, we tend to think of, okay, you know, we're not getting along, so what we've got to learn is how to solve this issue. But really, conflict resolution is only part of an entire package.
That's such a good point.
And so don't forget that. So
yes.
Don't just listen and say, okay, that we're going to solve these conflicts so that we can have a happier marriage. Work on having a happy marriage and add conflict resolution to
yes.
it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It absolutely does.
Okay.
And it really... It will make everything so much better if you're not just like, wow, we're just really at each other. Let's listen to the Keeping It Young podcast and learn some conflict resolution and everything will go away, because it won't go away if you're not working on the romance, the loving God together, the advancing together in your marriage.
Sure. So it's a package deal. That's the point.
Yes.
So here's the question then for the next probably couple of weeks. What are practical steps to get started in conflict resolution?
Yes.
And the first one, some of you may even sigh or roll your eyes about this one, but it probably is going to be understated rather than overstated. The first one, pray about it.
Absolutely.
Pray about it. I love James 1:5. James wrote, you know, to the believers who were scattered abroad. They'd been through great persecution. They had all kinds of new issues to deal with. They were living in places where they didn't know anybody. They were having to get new jobs. They were probably dealing with new church families. And he says very early in his epistle, he says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, which gives to all men liberally and upbraids not.
Would that not be verse 6? James 1:6.
I think it's actually James 1:5.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So I think I'm right there.
I'll look it up later.
y'all message us and let us know who's right. But it's early in James, and
yes.
what he's talking about there, sometimes we just say that verse so frequently, but basically the point James is making is this. James is saying, if you don't know what to do,
right?
If you are, you know, I don't know how to handle this, I don't know how to respond to this, I don't know how to solve this, then he said what you do is you ask of God.
Right.
And it's not just a simple, okay, God, I'm asking, so give it. God does give us steps as far as we find through his word. In fact, James is going to say this early in the chapter there. We've got to be hearers of the word of God. She's looking in her Bible. I was right, wasn't I?
You were right. I have my mama's Bible right here beside my recliner. So I picked it up real quick and...
I'm over here just explaining God's word and my wife looks all downfallen. Like, oh, I was wrong.
Oh, no. Oh, well.
It was actually in my notes here, James 1:5. So
yes, I do see that.
Yeah,
I do.
It's here.
I thought maybe it was a typo.
Yeah. But okay, so we're all on the same page here.
We are.
James
1:5. Now we are. We resolved that conflict.
We have. Good. That was an easy one. May all of your conflicts be solved as easily as that one.
Yes.
You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks for taking part in these conversations, and we hope that you're learning a lot and that you'll even tell others about our radio program so that others can grow and learn from these series as well. You can certainly find us anywhere on the web, but especially at www.tilradio.org, or you can find our podcast website at keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a co-production of TIL Radio and Keeping It Young. We'll see you next time. And in the meantime, remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.